It's just great and awesome being in the church with so many people who love God. Amen? Before we get going, does anybody need Bibles or bulletins? Because there won't be anything on the overhead. You have to go into your Bibles. I think we need to learn to turn the pages of the Bible more and more. I think sometimes we make it too easy for people just to be lazy. It's time we start turning hear the pages turn in our Bibles and start studying and reading more in our Bibles. Amen? All the kids can go to the children's church. Be dismissed now. You know, this past week, got into my Bible and I've been studying. I've been asking God, what is it you want me to tell the congregation this week? I've studied all week long when he took me from place to place. Never let me know what I was going to preach on the last night. And it was about 8 o'clock last night before he... But God's very good. See, when he did tell me what, he just laid out the scriptures he wanted me to use. And I've learned over the past few years that when I first started out preaching, I started 4 weeks ahead of time. And I started writing, and I started doing this and that, and I'm getting all this stuff in my head, and I was all messed up when I got up here. Some of you know that because you've heard me preach in the past. But I've learned to be patient and wait on God and study my Bible and wait on Him to tell me what to preach. I learned not to preach my sermons, but ask God what He wants me to preach. And this past week, last night, He showed me what He wanted me to preach. How many know that the devil is coming into our churches now? How many know there's false teachers everywhere? How many know there's people wanting to listen to them? There's people actually wanting to listen to the false teachers. Why? Because they got sin in their life. They got stuff in their life they don't want to get rid of. See, if they come into a real church that's got a real preacher that listens to God, they're going to tell them some things they're not going to like. See, these people, they don't want to hear the truth. They just want to hear something that makes them feel good. Makes them feel better about what they're going to go out and do. So God took me to some scriptures, and we're going to start out in the book of Acts. So if you turn your Bibles to Acts, first place we're going to stop is Acts chapter 2. I'm going to read a couple of verses here, and then we're going to go on. We're still staying in chapter 2, but we'll be a little bit farther into it. So I'll give you time to turn your Bibles. Before we get going, though, I want to open up with prayer. Father, I just thank you for each and every person that's sitting in this room today. These are the people that you wanted here today, Lord. These are the people that this message is for. Your church is sitting right here in this building, Lord. Well, Lord, we also know there could be the enemy sitting in this building. We don't know the lives of everybody sitting here. But each person sitting here knows their own. Who they are and who they serve. They know the purpose they're in here this morning. Lord, if there's anybody here that's not your child, Lord, I don't pray for you to move them out of this building. I pray for you this morning to save them this morning. Lord, turn the way they think to your way, Lord, through your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. You know, there's many of false teachers that will tell you what you want to hear if that's what you want. But I'm not one of them. I'm only going to tell you what the Father tells me to tell you. I may not know everything there is about the Bible, because I'm learning, and I'm studying hard. But I do know how to hear my Father's voice. How many can hear the Father when they talk to you? I'm talking about hear the Father when He talks to you. See, if you're a Christian this morning, you're sitting here, you have the Father, you have the Son living in you in the person of the Holy Spirit, and He will talk to you. And you can hear Him talk if you listen. I listen very carefully to what the Holy Spirit has to say to me. Because I got to come here before you, and I got to speak to you. And I don't want to direct anybody in the wrong way. We're going to start out in chapter 2, verse 1. We're going to, verse 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, like a sound like the blowing of a violent wind, came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And this is the part right here that I wanted to come to this scripture for. I'm just going to read a little bit more here and then we're going to move on. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the power of God. The power behind the church. The power that moves the church. The power that lives inside of us. The power that moves me. The power that moves you. Without that power, there is no church. God took me from this spot. He wanted me to turn over a page to Acts 2, 36 through 41. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. How many has made Christ Lord of your life? You mean so many people have stopped at salvation? The Bible clearly says He has to be our Lord. We got to go on. We got to move on. He becomes our boss. He is the one we got to listen to. Amen? When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." If you're sitting here this morning and you belong to the Lord, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. Amen? The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off. For all whom the Lord our God will call. He's called everyone. But it's your choice to choose to serve Him and to accept His gift. With many other words, He warned them. And He pleaded with them. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. How many know we're living in a very corrupt generation right now? Don't believe me? Just cut your television on. Those who accepted His message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. That was one heck of a revival. Why ain't that going on in our churches of today? Why ain't we seeing people saved? Why ain't we seeing things going on in our church like they did back when the church was originally started? Now he goes on to the next verses from 42 through 47, and he talks about this new church, the church, how it was in the beginning. I want you to listen to what he says. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. Devoted. How many sitting here right now has devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings? That don't mean once a month. That don't mean on Sunday morning. No, that means devoted. And to fellowship with one another. See, this church, they believed in the Word of God. They believed they needed to be close to the members of, to the brothers and sisters. To the breaking of the bread, which means what we just got through doing. Lord's Supper. And to prayer. How many of you are on your knees a lot? How many have you, do you really take prayer seriously? Prayer is the way we talk to God. I got to admit, I have at one time, I didn't take it so seriously. We've got to start, the church has to pray for each other. You need to pray for me. You need to pray for Tim. You need to pray for all your leaders, but you need to pray for each other. We need to pray for you. Because we got so many false teachers willing to yank you out of our hands. And if we're not paying attention, we could lose some of you. You could lose one of us. They're very clever people. And if you're not in this word and you're not paying attention to what it says, we don't know what they could lead, how they could lead you. Because unless you know what's in this word, you don't know what to look for. Amen? Everyone was filled with awe. See, they, and many wonders and miracles, signs were done by apostles. See, when they seen a miracle back then, it just took them. They realized how awesome their God was. When we see a miracle today, I've noticed people forget about it the next day. Some people don't even notice that it was a miracle. I've seen miracles happen in this church, and then I never hear nobody speak about them anymore. We had a man that come to this church, broke his ankle. He had sugar diabetes. Foot infected. The doctors wanted to remove the foot. He was prayed for at this altar. His foot started healing and the doctor didn't do anything about it. His foot healed from that time we prayed until he was walking on his own. And you know, I ain't heard nobody mention that since. Except for me. That was a miracle performed by our God. Why ain't we talking about it? Why ain't we in awe over what God does for us? Why ain't we noticing the miracles that's been done today? Not back then, today God still works miracles. Amen? They knew it back then. They were in awe of God. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They had God in common. They come together, one, in one mind and accord. And it was the Holy Spirit that done that for them. Amen? See, when they come to the church, when they got together, they wasn't talking about football games and everything else out there in the world. They were talking about God. They had something in common with God. You know, I had somebody in this very church that's no longer with us come to me and he said, you know, I come to church and I spit out a scripture and people look at me like I'm crazy. He's in a church house. He said, I hear them talking about everything else, but they don't want to talk about God. Why is that, church? We're in the house of God and we don't even talk about God sometimes. We're so talking about everything outside these buildings that we forget about who we come here for. We're here to serve God. We're here to worship God. Praise God. That's why we come to church. We're here to fellowship with one another. To assure each other that God is real. Because when you walk outside these buildings, sometimes you kind of forget that there's so much going on out there that's trying to turn you. So many false teachers. It's trying to turn your head from what this word says. Sometimes we forget that. We need each other to remind each other of who God is. Amen? It goes on to say, selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. They cared about each other. They actually sold their belongings to help one another. Now, I'm not trying to say this church is a bad church. I think we've got a good church here. But is our heart the same place theirs is? I know I want to do good, and I know that you want to do good. But would we go that far for each other? Would we sell our belongings and help the person next to us? Would we go that far? I'm asking, I'm not telling. That's a question, answer that we have to give each other. Would I do it? Would you do it? That church did it. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Every day they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Every day the church got together. We're lucky to see some people once every other week. And they show up once a week. That's good. The church then, every day. Not only was the in church, they got together. They fellowshiped with one another. They got to know each other. They got to become a real family together. Are we family? Yes, we are. And I love every one of you, and I hope you love me. But I'm telling you what God's got for me to tell you. We can do better than what we're doing. As good as we think we may be, we can do better. And we're going to get to that later on, just how that's going to be done. Praising God and rejoicing. We just had a praise and worship. We had a sermon right up there on stage. If you just listen to what Aaron and the praise band is singing, just let the words filter into your head and sing them back to God. Worship Him for who He is and what He does for you. Amen? They praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. You want this church to grow? Become the church they were in the beginning. The Bible says we've left our first love. Go back to the beginning when you was first saved. That is how we should be feel right now. In awe of God. Amen? Now He took me from these scriptures. Took me to Revelations. So turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 3. I'm smiling because there's a word I'm fixing to say that I had to ask how to pronounce, and I've been asked 5 times, and I had it down, but now I've got it again. We're going to a different church. We're going to the church in okay, y'all heard it. To the angels of the church in Laodicea. Right. These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. Church, we don't want to be in a cold nor a lukewarm church. We want to be a hot church. We want to be on par for the Lord. Amen? We can't be somebody that just shows up every now and then in church. We need to be devoted to God's Word. We need to be devoted to fellowship with each other. He goes on, he talks about this church, he says, so because you are lukewarm, you're neither hot nor cold. You see, we feel safe. If we're not really cold, but we're not hot, we're safe. We're right in the middle, right? My wife's talked to me about this a lot of times. She said, you stayed on the fence a lot. See, I had to get off the fence. She made me get off the fence. God's talking to you this morning. If God's talking to you this morning, He says, get off the fence. That's the word He's got for you. You're either cold or you're hot. Are you lukewarm? And lukewarm is worse than being cold. Amen? He's saying, get off the fence. Why? I am about to spit you out of my mouth. That's what he says. I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You see, we think when we come to the church, as long as we show up every now and then, hallelujah, praise the Lord, listen to music, thank you, preacher, you've done a good job, walk back out. But we've done this part. We've done a part for the God. Now we're going out the doors. Now we're out in the world. Now, when I don't want to act too holy out here, because we, you know, I've heard this saying that sometimes you can be so holy that you're no earthly good. Well, let me tell you, that comes from hell. There's no way you can be too holy not to be earthly good. The closer we move to God, the better off we're going to be. Amen. You want to get as close to God as you can get. You want to be as holy as you can get. So don't let nobody tell you that you can be too holy to be any earthly good. Because what that does, it just turns you around and makes you be more earthly. And you're not heavenly good. You're not doing God any favors at all but doing that. He said, move closer to me, not away from me. You say, I'm rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. You know, a lot of people think, you know, that everything's going good. I got money and my bills are paid and all that. You know, I'm in good shape. I don't need God right now. You always need God. Always. Don't think your wealth can protect you. You can lose it just like that. Look at the people now that's had money, don't even have a job. People that had homes don't even have a home no more. You can't trust in what your stuff or what you got. We need God every day, every minute of our life. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich. And white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes, so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. You know, when you think God is picking on you, it's because He loves you. He wants you to take you away from that junk that you got in your life. See, He's wanting to bless you, and He can't bless you as long as you're walking in sin or disobedience. Amen? He says, if anyone hears my voice, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. When he's saying hear and see here, he's talking about with your spiritual eyes and spiritual ears. You can't hear with your natural ears and eyes. Can you see God in the Spirit? Can you hear the Holy Spirit when He talks to you with your... We got two sets of ears and two eyes. Ones I see you with and ones I see God with. Amen? The ones ears I hear you with and the ears I hear God with. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne. He's telling you something here. If you'll just overcome, if you're one that needs to overcome. I got news for you. There's things I need to overcome. Just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on His throne, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, we're going to go from Revelation. He took me to 2 Timothy. Chapter 3. And we're going to start with the first five verses. If there, say amen. But mark this. There will be a terrible times in the last days. How many know we're in the last days? I'm talking about the last of the last days. Getting close, church, whether you believe it or not. And that's your choice, what you want to believe. Take a look around you. Read the Bible. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. This is here, have nothing to do with these people. And we're talking about people that are in the churches. We've got churches full of these people. Now, I hope none are here in Buckhead Ridge. It moves on from there. We'll go to chapter 4. We'll start verse 1 through 4. In the presence of God, and this he's talking to Timothy here. He's putting a charge on Timothy. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. That's not only for the preachers and teachers. That's for everybody sitting in this room. You got to be prepared at all times. You got to be able to speak the word at any time. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience. If anybody tells you not to ask for patience, don't listen to them. Ask for patience. You need it. We all need it. You may not like how he gets you there, but you'll like it once you get there. Amen? And careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. How many know that time is here? It's not on the way, it's here. People don't want to listen to what the Bible says anymore. Goes on to say, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers. To say that their itching ear, to say what their itching ears want to hear. I'm going to tell you today, if you're looking for that, you come to the wrong place. You won't hear it from me. You're not going to hear it from Tim. And I hope you're not going to hear it from anybody else in this building. I'm going to devote my life studying this book, finding out what the truth is. And when I find out, I'm going to relay it to you. Tim and all the teachers in this building, I pray, has got the same heart and going to do the same thing. They will turn their ears away from their truth and turn aside to myths. You know, you may want to here, it's okay to live with somebody. I mean, everybody's doing it now, right? Don't have to get married anymore. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. So you won't hear this preacher say that. It is wrong to live in sin, any kind of sin. You may hear people saying, well, it should be all right for two men or two women to be married. Well, you're not going to hear this preacher say it because that Bible does not say it. It is wrong. You're going to hear the truth here. You might want to hear to say it's okay to kill babies because I made a mistake and I just don't want nobody to know I made this mistake. That's not what this Bible teaches, so you won't hear this preacher saying that. It is not all right to take anybody's life. There's a number of other things that we want to hear sometimes. I'm hoping not, when I say we, I hope it's nobody in this building, but people in the churches across the country. But in this church, I can speak for myself, and I believe I know the rest of the leadership in this church. You want to hear the truth. It is not right to do all these things. It's not right to go out these doors and sin this afternoon or go do your own thing this afternoon and forget about God. So what is the main thing God wanted me to tell you this morning? How many know that you can't do anything on your own? To make all this work, we need to go back when I first started out this. They were given the Holy Spirit. God knew that we couldn't do none of this stuff on our own. He placed in us His power, Himself, in the person of the Holy Spirit. There's a reason for that. He's our teacher. He's the one that empowers us. He's the one that goes out of these doors with us, unless you have pushed Him out of your life. Now you know you can grieve the Holy Spirit. You can refuse to listen to Him. To where you're done pushing back and He don't even say anything to you now. Or you've got so much stuff between you and Him, you can't hear Him when He does. This church is just a building with a bunch of people unless the Holy Spirit's in it. You're not a saved person unless the Holy Spirit lives in you. And if you have the Holy Spirit living in you, you got the power to overcome every circumstance you come up with. If you listen to the Holy Spirit. If you let Him empower you. If you let Him teach you and take you through life. In other words, if you follow Him. And this is something that's you're going to have to learn to do daily in a walk with something I've been trying to get through. Hopefully people can understand. It's through a relationship with God. It's getting to know Him. When I asked you if you could hear God's voice, some people can't. God lives in you, and yes, you can hear His voice. And yes, He is ready to go out these doors with you. And yes, He's ready to meet you in your workplace and tell you and teach you how to act in front of other people. Empower you to do the right things. If you'll listen to Him. He's ready to teach you how to control anger problems. And get rid of jealousy and all kinds of junk that's in you. If you're willing to listen to Him. He's ready to come in and empower this church to lay hands on people and see them get healed. If we're walking in obedience with Him. Our churches across the country has kicked the Lord out. I'm not saying this church has done that. But there is churches out there that God don't even go in. Because there are people that want their ears tickled. They're so concerned about building a large crowd, they forgot they're supposed to save them, teach them, prepare them to go out into the world. Amen? I hope this never becomes a church like that. What I'm saying, I can't get rid of sin in my life without the help of the Holy Spirit. How many know that? You can tell me, I got to get rid of this. I can tell you, you need to get rid of all your problems. But if you ain't got the Holy Spirit in you, it's not going to work. The first thing I want to tell you, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, get Him. He's here this morning. He's ready to enter into anybody who don't have Him. And He's ready to change your life, turn it around, and use you for things you've never been used for. See, He's using me for things I never could have dreamed I'd be used for. But first, I had to have Him inside me. So do you. Would you please stand? Maybe you're here today and you've been struggling with sin issue, and you can't figure out why you can't do anything with it. You may be a saved person. Have you got a relationship with Him? Do you know Him? Can you hear Him talk to you? If not, come to this altar and ask Him to present Himself to you all over. Rededicate your life to Him. Ask Him to come in and fill you with His Spirit. Lead you and teach you. Because He will be glad to do that. Maybe you don't have the Holy Spirit in you at all. Don't leave this building until you receive the Holy Spirit. Amen? You need Him. And today, we don't have much time left. And I'm not going to... This altar is going to be open for you. Time is getting short. It's your choice. I can't make you come up here. All I can tell you is, all I can do is tell you the truth about this book. If you don't have the Holy Spirit living in you, you're fixing to have a long, long life in the wrong place. You don't want to go where you're going to go. All you got to do is accept Jesus Christ in your life, ask Him to come in and be your Lord and Savior. Lord and Savior, not just Savior. Ask Him to lead you, and that's what He'll do. He will lead you. He will go out of these buildings with you. He will be with you at your in your home. If you're having marriage problems, He can fix that for you. He'll be with you in your workplace. If you're having problems at work, He can fix that for you. He can change that around. He can take a dead church and turn it around and make a live church out of it. We can start seeing people at the altar being saved on a regular basis. We can see people in this church being healed on a regular basis. That's how powerful our God is. But He's just waiting for us to invite Him back into the church. See, that ain't been happening in the churches across the country. But that's what needs to be happening. We need to start paying attention to the power of God. That's what makes a church function, the power of God. It's not just the people in it. Just because we come in here don't mean, just because I'm up here standing here, if I don't have the Holy Spirit in me, I'm not going to do you any good at all. If He's not speaking through me, I'm just up here saying a bunch of words. Because I have no power to back up what I'm saying, but He does. I'm telling you what I know He'll do for you if you'll accept Him in your life. If you walked away from God and you need to return to God, this altar is open. And if you'll do that, you're going to see things change in your life and things happening in your life that you ain't had. Or you ain't had for a long time. Let us pray. Father, you tell me that when your word goes out into a congregation, it never goes out without reaching the ears that it was meant for. And it never returns to you void, Lord. So I believe this message this morning has went out and it's touched different people's ears in this congregation. Don't know what and who. But Lord, I just want to thank you that it is going to do the job that you sent it out for. Lord, I just ask you to, if you're speaking to anybody in this building about anything, Lord, that they don't refuse you, that they don't turn away from you today, that they don't push you out of their life any longer, that they'll accept you, they'll return to you, Lord. Or if they've never been to you, Lord, that they'll accept you into their life and they will make you their Lord. Not only their Savior, but their Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. This altar is open for anybody for any reason, sickness, or any other reason.